Law number 12, the law of empowerment. Only secure leaders give power to others. Nearly everyone has heard of Henry Ford, the revolutionary automobile industry innovator and legend in American business history. In 1903, he co-founded the Ford Motor Company with the belief that the future of the automobile lay in putting it within reach of the average American worker. The Model T changed the face of the 20th century American life. By 1914, Ford was producing nearly 50% of all automobiles in the United States. The Ford Motor Company looked like an American success story. However, all of Ford's story is not about positive achievement, and one reason is that he didn't embrace the law of empowerment. Henry Ford was the antithesis of an empowering leader. He continually undermined his leaders and looked over the shoulders of his people. He even created a sociological department within Ford Motor Company to check up on his employees and direct their private lives. As time went by, he became more and more eccentric. He once went into his accounting office and tossed the company's books into the street, saying, "Just put all the money we take in a big barrel, and when a shipment of material comes in, reach into the barrel and take out enough money to pay for it." Perhaps Ford's most peculiar dealings were with his executives, especially his son Edsel. The younger Ford had worked at the company since he was a boy. As Henry became more eccentric, Edsel worked harder to keep the company going. If it weren't for Edsel, the Ford Motor Company probably would have gone out of business in the 1930s. Henry eventually gave Edsel the presidency of the company, but at the same time, he undermined his son. Further, whenever a promising leader was rising up in the company, Henry tore him down. As a result, the company kept losing its best executives. The few who stayed did so because they figured that someday old Henry would die and Edsel would finally take over and set things right. But that's not what happened. In 1943, Edsel died at the age of 49. Edsel's oldest son, the 26-year-old Henry Ford II, quickly left the Navy so that he could return to Dearborn, Michigan, and take over the company. Young Henry was taking over a company that hadn't made a profit in 15 years. At that time, it was losing $1 million a day. The young president knew he was in over his head, so he set out to find leaders. Fortunately, the first group actually approached him. Colonel Charles Tex Thornton headed a team of 10 men who had worked together at the War Department during World War II. Their contribution to the Ford Motor Company was substantial. In the years to come, the group produced 6 company vice presidents and 2 presidents. The second influx of leadership came with the entrance of Ernie Breech, an experienced General Motors executive and the former president of Bendix Aviation. Young Henry hired him to be Ford's executive vice president, a position second to Henry's, with the expectation that he would take command and turn the company around. He succeeded. Breech quickly brought in more than 150 outstanding executives from General Motors, and by 1949, Ford Motor Company was on a roll again. In that year, the company sold more than 1 million Fords, Mercurys, and Lincolns, the best sales since the Model A. If Henry Ford II had lived by the law of empowerment, the Ford Motor Company might have grown enough to eventually overtake General Motors and become the number one car company again. But only secure leaders are able to give power to others, and Henry felt threatened. The success of Tex Thornton, Ernie Breech, and Louis Crusoe, a legendary GM executive whom Breech had brought into the company, made Henry worry about his own place at Ford. His position was based not on influence, but on his name and his family's control of the company's stock. What was Henry's solution? He began pitting one top executive against another. Anytime an executive gained power and influence, Henry undercut the person's authority by moving him to a position with less clout, supporting the executive's subordinates or publicly humiliating him. This maneuver continued all the days Henry II was at Ford. As one Ford president, Lee Iacocca, commented after leaving the company, "Henry Ford, as I would learn firsthand, had a nasty habit of getting rid of strong leaders." Iacocca says that Henry Ford II once described his leadership philosophy to him years before Iacocca himself became its target. Ford said, "If a guy works for you, don't let him get too comfortable. Don't let him get too cozy or set in his ways. Always do the opposite of what he expects. Keep your people anxious and off balance. Both Henry Fords failed to abide by the law of empowerment. Rather than identifying leaders, building them up, giving them resources, authority, and responsibility, and turning them loose to achieve, they alternately encouraged and undermined their best people. To lead others well, we must help them to reach their potential. That means being on their side, encouraging them, giving them power, and helping them to succeed. That's not traditionally what we're taught about leadership. What were the two leadership games we were taught as kids? King of the Hill and Follow the Leader. What was the object of King of the Hill? To knock other people down so that you could be the leader. And what was the point in Follow the Leader? You do the things you know followers can't do to separate yourself from them and make yourself look more powerful. The problem with these games is that to win, you have to make all the other people lose. The games are based on insecurity and are opposite of the way to raise up leaders. When I travel to developing countries, I am made especially aware of how alien the idea of empowerment can be to emerging leaders. In cultures where you have to fight to make something of yourself, the assumption often is that you need to fight others to maintain your leadership. But that reflects a scarcity mindset. The truth is that if you give some of your power away to others, there is still plenty to go around. When I teach the law of empowerment in emerging countries, I usually ask a volunteer to come up so that I can show visually what happens when a leader tries to keep others down instead of raising them up. I ask the volunteer to stand in front of me, and I put my hands on his shoulders. Then I begin pushing him down. The lower I want to push him, the more I have to bend down to do it. As I push him lower, I go lower. That's the same way it is in leadership. To keep others down, you have to go down with them. And when you do that, you lose any power to lift others up. When leaders fail to empower others, it's usually due to three main reasons. The number one barrier to empowerment, desire for job security. Weak leaders worry that if they help subordinates, they will themselves become dispensable. But the truth is that the only way to make yourself indispensable is to make yourself dispensable. In other words, if you're able to continually empower others and help them develop so that they can become capable of taking over your job, you will become so valuable to the organization that you become indispensable. That is the paradox of the law of empowerment. What if I work myself out of a job by empowering others, you may ask, and my superiors don't recognize my contribution? That can happen in the short term. But if you keep raising up leaders and empowering them, you will develop a pattern of achievement, excellence, and leadership that will be recognized and rewarded. If the teams you lead always seem to succeed, people will figure out that you're leading them well. The number two barrier to empowerment, resistance to change. By its very nature, empowerment brings constant change because it encourages people to grow and innovate. Change is the price of progress. That's not always easy to live with. Most people don't like change. That's a fact. Yet one of the most important responsibilities of leaders is to continually improve their organizations. As a leader, you must train yourself to embrace change, to desire it, to make a way for it. Effective leaders are not only willing to change, they become change agents. The third barrier to empowerment is lack of self-worth. John Piers observed, "You can't lead a cavalry charge if you think you look funny on a horse." Self-conscious people are rarely good leaders. They focus on themselves, worrying how they look, what others think, whether they are liked. They can't give power to others because they feel that they have no power themselves, and you can't give what you don't have. The best leaders have a strong sense of self-worth. They believe in themselves, their mission, and their people. One of the greatest leaders of the United States was known for his humility and willingness to give his power and authority to others, Abraham Lincoln. The depth of his security as a leader can be seen in the selection of his cabinet. Most presidents pick like-minded allies, but not Lincoln. At a time of turmoil for the country when factions were strong, Lincoln brought together a group of leaders who would bring strength through diversity and mutual challenge. One Lincoln biographer said this of his method: "For a president to select a political rival for a cabinet post was not unprecedented, but deliberately to surround himself with all of his disappointed antagonists seemed to be courting disaster. It was the mark of his sincere intentions that Lincoln wanted the advice of men as strong as himself or stronger. That he entertained no fear of being crushed or overridden by such men revealed either surpassing naiveness or a tranquil confidence in his power of leadership. Lincoln's desire to unify the country was more important than his personal comfort. His strength and self-confidence allowed him to practice the law of empowerment and bring strong leaders into his circle. In June of 1863, Lincoln put the command of the Army of the Potomac into the hands of General George C. Meade. Within hours of Meade's appointment, Lincoln sent a courier to him. The President's message, in part, said, "Considering the circumstances, no one ever received a more important command, and I cannot doubt that you will fully justify the confidence which the government has reposed in you. You will not be hampered by any minute instructions from these headquarters. Your army is free to act as you deem proper under the circumstances as they arise. All forces within the sphere of your operations will be held subject to your orders." As it turned out, Meade's first significant challenge came as he commanded the army at a small Pennsylvania town named Gettysburg. It was a test he passed with authority. Lincoln's use of the law of empowerment was as consistent as Henry Ford's habit of breaking it. When his generals performed well, Lincoln gave them the credit. When they performed poorly, Lincoln took the blame. Lincoln was able to stand strongly during the war and continually give power to others because of his rock-solid security. You don't have to be a leader of Lincoln's caliber to empower others. The main ingredient for empowering others is a high belief in people. If you believe in others, they will believe in themselves. The truth is that empowerment is powerful, not only for the person being developed, but also for the mentor. Enlarging others makes you larger. That is the law of empowerment. It's an impact you can experience as a leader as long as you are willing to believe in people and give your power away.